So Hare Krishna, I want to welcome you affectionately to this part of the program. I think you know we are slowly moving towards the appearance time of Lord Krishna at 12 o'clock, and we want to prepare our heart, we want to capture Krishna a little bit in our heart. We will also have a meditation, so we it's good if the atmosphere goes a little down. Vilas reveals to us, after Krishna had been victorious over all his enemies in the arena of Kamsa, after Krishna had slain Chanura, Balaram, had slain Mushtika, and finally after Krishna had also freed the world from the thorn which was causing pain in the entire planet, after Krishna had delivered Kamsa, at that moment two lonely figures walked over the sand of the fighting arena. It was Vasudev and Devaki. Vasudev said, "My dear son, my dear son." And Devaki could not say anything because she was choked up with emotions. Vasudev came forward and embraced Balaram and Krishna and said, "Today my life has become successful and glorious, because I, Vasudev, have been able to see my two sons, the glories of the Yadu dynasty." So Krishna remembers this moment. There was a lot of excitement. The whole town was sitting on the ranks of the fighting arena, and they had watched him taking care of all the opposition. So Krishna remembers this and he speaks to Yudhishthira. He said, "Oh Yudhishthira, when I saw the happiness of Devaki and Vasudev, I felt so happy and everyone else was very happy. All the people from Mathura who were my devotees came down to the arena and they stood before me and they said, today we are so happy because we feel Krishna is reborn to us. He is given back to us. Today the demon Kamsa has been killed in the wrestling arena. And then they said, O Madhusudan Krishna, please repeat, O Madhusudan Krishna. They said it with more emotion. One, two.
O Madhusudan Krishna,
be pleased with us.
Be pleased with us.
And kindly remove all the doubts within our minds.
And kindly remove all the doubts within our minds.
O Krishna.
O Krishna.
O Lord who removes all suffering.
O Lord who removes all suffering.
Please tell us the day of your birth.
Please tell us the day of your birth. Yes.
And then these devotees with tears in their eyes said, when we know the date when you have taken your birth, we will celebrate a huge festival in your honor. So then Krishna, he answered this question. He said, during the monsoon season, this is now monsoon season, not in Germany. In Germany we are dried out like dried out pieces of cheese. During the monsoon season, on the eighth day of the dark fortnight of the month of Bhadra, when the sun had entered into the constellation called Leo, and when the moon was in Taurus, conjoined with the star of Rohini, that's today, to make it simple for all of us. Halfway point of the night, no, this is the 12 o'clock, I was born as the son of Vasudev and Devaki. I request you, observe this date as my Janmashtami Vrata. On this day, celebrate a great festival honoring the goddess Yogamaya also. You can begin this festival in Mathura and soon it will spread all over the world and will even arrive in the German forest called Adventure. I don't know if you know, but the village next to us is called Abenteuer, which translates into English as adventure. I think there could be no better word describing ISKCON. It's an adventure. So Krishna said, start with observing this festival in Mathura, and from there it will spread out all over the world. I am sure Krishna had Goloka Dham in mind when he said it. And London, and Zurich, and you know, everything else, New York, and what have you not. This is what the Lord said. He blessed his own birthday. He said, everyone will celebrate it. And that's why we are together here. My dear devotees, maybe you feel something special. From the morning till now, we have mostly engaged in Krishna conscious subjects. We saw dramas, we were swinging the Lord, we heard lectures, and we had only very little opportunity to engage in prajalpa. Here, there, it was possible, but generally, it was the time was occupied with Krishna. And do you note what happens in your heart? It starts to melt a little, and we feel we are a little bit dazed and confused because we are not in our usual mental space. We are in an unusual mental space. So much Krishna, we are hardly used to this, but it is wonderful. We feel that I'm coming closer to my real goal in life. Prabhupada wrote about this when we are totally engaged with Krishna. He said, persons who are constantly engaged in the transcendental meditation about Krishna internally and externally, by thinking of him, such persons attain the perfection of samadhi or trance. So you might notice you are entering into a little state that is like Krishna samadhi, a Krishna trance. And in this auspicious situation, we want to hear another time, a last time for today, about Krishna. I want to read to you some selected passages where Prabhupada describes Krishna from the 21st chapter of Krishna book. I must tell you, this is my most favorite spot in Krishna book. And when I was very young, I recorded the whole chapter for our children, and the parents would play this tape of the 21st chapter to our children before they fell asleep, and then as a good night's entertainment. So I want to do the same today with you. You know, children, we tell stories so that they fall asleep finally and there's peace. Parents and grown-ups are told the wonderful pastimes of Krishna so that they wake up. Wake up. Srila Prabhupada said about the transcendental pastimes of Krishna, he said they are so powerful that simply by hearing, reading and memorizing this book Krishna, one is sure to be transferred to the spiritual world, which is ordinarily very difficult to achieve. So my little point to all of you is, let us hear about Krishna's pastimes and enter or do our first steps in the ultimate journey, the journey which brings us to the spiritual planet of Goloka Vrindavan. So, the chapter starts with Krishna looking at the forest of Vrindavan. He sees that the cooling autumn season has arrived, and he sees also that the lakes and rivers, which were a little muddy, have now become crystal clear because of the monsoon rainfall which purified everything. And Krishna was so pleased with the atmosphere of the forest because all the flowers bloomed and the bees and the drones hummed very jubilantly. I cannot imagine what it means when a bee chants jubilantly. It must be like very high-pitched sound I have. But maybe they do it differently. So the birds and the trees and the plants, they're all looking very happy because now the summer season is over, which is sometimes a little hot, no? So Krishna was surrounded by his cows and accompanied by Sri Balaram. There were many cowherd boys around. They're standing in the forest, maybe at the lakeside or near a river. And what does Krishna do? Krishna takes his flute out and starts to play it. And the wind, knowing that the gopis who had to stay back in the village of Vrindavan are so eager to get news of Krishna, the Sri wind is carrying the sound of Krishna's transcendental flute and brings it right into the ears of the gopis in Vrindavan town. And they began to remember Krishna. They start to talk amongst themselves how nice Krishna's flute play is. And they remember Krishna's pastimes with them. And as they remember Krishna's pastimes, their minds become churned and stirred up. And they become so eager to be with Krishna that they are unable to completely describe the beautiful vibration of Krishna's flutes. They simply start talking about it and they remember how Krishna is dressed. Do you also know how Krishna is dressed when he enters the forest of Vrindavan? You're brain dead. Try to awaken it. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear.
Like a dancing actor.
He looks like a dancing actor. You know, when an actor enters the stage, he will get in the mood and he will start to dance so that when he finally enters the stage, it's like, wow! He comes on. And so Krishna is dancing. He has a peacock feather on his head which also dances. And the blue flowers pushed over his ears are also there. And everything in Krishna's personality starts to dance. His feet, the ankle bells, it says. The dhoti moves. Krishna's garland moves. But the most beautiful thing is that his eyes dance also. And then his eyebrows start to also dance. Everything about our Lord is dance. He's the Lord of dance, my dear devotees. Krishna, at the same time, while dancing with his whole body and all his ornaments, he fills the holes of his flute with the nectar that comes from his lips. So the gopis remember this. They remember how Krishna, as he dances, leaves footprints in the sand of the Vrindavan forest. On his heel there is a fish, but then there is also an ankush, a little thing with a hook that is used to control elephants. You know, it is said that when the mahout, the elephant driver, sits on the neck of the elephant has such tough skin that he doesn't notice that someone is there. So he cannot hear any command. He doesn't follow any commands. So the mahout has an ankush and he scratches the elephant on the right and left ear, in the back of the ear. When he's right, it says go right. When he scratches left, go left. And when he scratches a little fast, it means kneel down. And many commands are like this. Krishna has this ankush on this lotus feet, and it is said when a devotee thinks about Krishna's lotus feet and the ankush, his elephant-like mind gets controlled. The same mind which tells you now go left and go right go here and go there. That elephant, when you elephant-like mind of Krishna, of you, becomes moved towards Krishna when you think about his lotus feet, like the gopis do here. Prabhupada says Krishna was so expert in playing the flute, and the gopis were captivated by the sound vibration. And so were all the living creatures who heard Krishna's flute play. One of the gopis went telling to her friends, "Listen, the highest perfection of the eyes is to see Krishna Balaram entering the forest and playing their flutes and tending the cows with their friends." Those devotees who meditate about Krishna, they sometimes sit there, they've closed their eyes, and in their minds they see how Krishna Balaram with the cows and the cowherds enter the forest of Vrindavan. Krishna is dancing and everything on him dances, and then the forest closes and Krishna Balaram are now no longer visible. So the gopis were exchanging discussions about Krishna and Balaram. They said, "For me, Krishna and Balaram look like actors which are going to play on a dramatic stage. Look, Krishna is dressed in glowing garments of yellow, and Balaram is dressed in blue garments. And they are holding new twigs of mango trees. They carry them. You know, like little boys, they like to pick up things. So they have peacock feathers and bunches of flowers in their hands." I find it particularly fascinating that Krishna's dhoti is yellow. And do you remember what it does? It glows. Some translators say it looks like electricity that flickers. So it's a very colorful festival. Krishna has these mango twigs. And by the way, he has found some spots in the forest which are colored with minerals, and he colors his cheek with minerals. Another gopi said, "My dear friends, we cannot even think of his bamboo flute. What sort of pious activities did it execute so that it is now enjoying the nectar of the lips of Krishna, which is actually the property of us gopis? This flute is a dry stick, and all the time it is in contact with the super sweet bimba fruit like lips of Krishna. We just cannot imagine what the flute did." Now the great devotee Suradas, he has written a song where the flute answers this question. "O gopis, you do not know what austerities I did." The flute speaks, "I was standing at the side of the banks of the river. Then, one day, the woodcutter came and cut me and took me away from my relatives, the other bamboo flutes. That's the austerity which I needed to do. Then he brought me to his workshop. He heated me. I was slightly green still, but he heated me up so that my wood became super hard. And then he drilled holes into my body. these austerities I did to be always in the hands of Krishna. Are you willing to also perform some austerities like this? Then another gopi saw the deers. This is amazing. My dear friends, this gopi said, just see the deer. Although they are apparently dumb animals, they have gone very close to the son of Maharaj Nanda, Krishna. They are not only attracted by the dress of Lord Krishna and Balaram. No! As soon as these deers heard the playing of the flute, they came along with their husbands and they offered respectful obeisances unto the Lord by looking at him with great affection. Prabhupada says the gopis were actually envious of the deer because the deer were able to offer their services to Krishna along with their husbands. The gopis, on the other hand, they had to leave their husbands. They left their homes when they heard Krishna's flute play. Their husbands were always a little suspicious. Where do our wives go? So the deers didn't have this problem of jealous husbands. They had the husbands who came along. And do you remember their service to Krishna when they came close to Krishna? It's very beautiful. They looked at Krishna, but how? With affectionate glances. It is said that Krishna is most pleased when his devotees, following the example of the deer, look at him with eyes full of affection. Today I was fortunate, I was sitting next to a little child, and the child that was just reacting to Krishna so nicely. Oh, now Krishna is coming. Oh, now the flower petals are thrown on Krishna. Oh, look at the devotees, they are fanning Krishna. I can imagine this child is our guru. The child looked not just at Krishna, looked with affection to Krishna. This is the highest type of worship, to look at with affection at Krishna. So there are many wonderful descriptions. Maybe some here, yes. The gopis spoke about everything. They spoke about the rivers in Vrindavan. They said, you know, when Krishna plays his flute, the rivers are becoming agitated with love and they offer their lotus flowers to Krishna's feet. They spoke about the clouds. They said, although the clouds are foreigners, you know, clouds are accumulating above the ocean, they come from a distant country, so, but they come on tourist visa to Vrindavan, like you, yes? Foreigners. The clouds are blown to Vrindavan and they leave Vrindavan also. But the gopis say, these clouds, although they are foreigners, they are actually behaving very friendly with Krishna. Because when Krishna plays his flute, he needs some rhythm, and the rhythm is supplied by the clouds, which go rumble, tumble, rumble, tumble, rumble, tumble, like this, or even more beautiful, I think. And the clouds become so attracted to Krishna. Because Krishna looks at them and he says to them, clouds, you and me are the same. You think of the welfare of people by bringing water, and I'm thinking also of the welfare of the people by bringing the nectar of Krishna consciousness to them. You and me are the same. We are welfare workers. So because Krishna is so personal to the clouds don't want to leave Vrindavan. They are charmed. So I will end here. Lord Chaitanya has described that no one can worship the Supreme Lord by any method which is better than the method of the gopis. The method of the gopis was just to think of Krishna and to talk of Krishna all day, really. And they didn't have any other process. They were talking about Krishna. And this is the ideal of the Krishna conscious society. If every one of us can do what we are meant to do, sing Krishna's name, serve Krishna. Because by this method of trying to please Krishna, everyone becomes totally happy. One of the last writings of Srila Prabhupada happened in the 10th canto, 13 chapter. He wrote there a beautiful purport and description of what is Krishna consciousness. Can I share this with you?
Yes.
Good. Everyone in Vrindavan is happy by pleasing Krishna, whether he is a Goswami or a tiger or another ferocious animal. Everyone's business is the same, to please Krishna. I remember 50 years ago I have heard there was one devotee who was doing bhajan all day, and he had a servant. You will be amazed to hear what was his servant. He was a lion. And every day this lion would go out. He was in Vashana, and he would come to the houses of the Brijvasis, and he would scratch at the house. He had a bag, an empty bag, and he was expecting that everyone would put something in the bag for Swamiji, who was his master. So can you imagine? You open the door and there's a lion, and he has a bag, an empty bag, and he might go like this. I think you would be very fast to give Marugari. So, but this lion was loved by everyone. Yes, he was a lion, but he lived in Vrindavan, and he was in the Vrindavan flow. And to be in the Vrindavan flow means that you are in the mood of pleasing Krishna. When you are not in this flow, Vrindavan can be very heavy to you. It can really grind down your ego until finally you say, I get the point. I have to be in the Vrindavan flow. I have to serve Krishna. So in Vrindavan, Prabhupada continues, everyone is happy. The calf is happy. The cat is happy. The dog is happy. The man is happy. Everyone. Everyone wants to serve Krishna in a different capacity, and thus there is no envy. Sometimes one may think that the monkeys of Vrindavan are envious because they cause mischief and steal food. But in Vrindavan we find that the monkeys are allowed to take butter.
because Krishna himself distributes. Krishna personally demonstrates that everyone has the right to live. This is Vrindavan life. The inhabitants of Vrindavan think, whatever is given to us by Krishna, let us divide it as prasadam and eat. This is Vrindavan consciousness. You accept everyone. You tolerate everyone. You do not judge anyone. Oh, he is not. Oh, she is not. No, no. You understand they are all welcome in Krishna's temple or in Krishna's movement. And they can serve even the cat and the dog and the tiger. Hare Krishna. So that's the Vrindavan atmosphere. I want to tell you about one devotee who was very bad in his life. He was from the Muslimic, from that background, and he was gay. Do you know what that is? Attracted to boys. He was not attracted to men. He was attracted to boys, and he would engage in activities with the boys. He was very, very lusty, and he was not. He was really abusing or misusing the boys. So once he heard two sadhus talking. Oh, this boy is so beautiful. And I mean, the way he plays the flute is just so nice. And his turban. And he has even a pearl as a ring in his nose. So this man, his name was Ras Khan, he heard all this. And he thought to himself, I must meet this boy. This is a better boy than all other boys. He went to the sadhus and said, where is this boy about you, whom you are talking? The sadhus looked at each other. They knew Ras Khan had not the best intention. So they said, but Ras Khan took a knife out, put it on the throat. Tell me where this boy is, this beautiful boy. He is walking around in Vrindavan. Do you have a photo of him? No, said the sadhu, but by the sound of the no, Ras Khan, who was a rascal, knew that the sadhu had a photo of Krishna. Don't we all know when we ask someone a question, and the way they answer, even if they tell something different, you know what is really in their heart by their answer. You just must fire the question fast enough so that it comes as a surprise. So then everything freezes and then the truth comes out. So the sadhu said, no, but Ras Khan said, so show me the photo. Oh, you know, the throat was on the knife was on the throat, so the sadhu took a photo or a picture of Radha Raman out of his turban and said, that's the boy, leave me in peace. This boy is very powerful. I warn you, don't mess around with him. Thank you. So Ras Khan went to Vrindavan searching for the identical person, you know, who was on the photo. He went to many, many temples, and as he looked in the temple, he couldn't find a matching
image. I must correct myself. It was a photo of Gopalji and Naji. It was a painting. So finally, he went, after having seen so many temples, he came to Govardhan and he climbed up the hill and he was just about to enter the temple of Gopalji or Gopalnath or Gopalraj, there are many names for him. Then the lance-bearing guards were just putting the lance on his chest and said, "The way you are dressed, we know that you are dressed for trouble. You can't enter the temple." Raskan said, let me just see him from outside. So the guards just brought him from outside. You cannot cross the threshold. If you cross the threshold, this lance will end your life. So they brought him like a tiger, you know, who you keep away from you with a lance. And he looked at Gopal Raj. And when he looked at him, his tears came, he choked. He said, Oh, forgive me, I'm sinful. Yes, said the guard, you look like that. Leave now. So he went to the other side of Govardhan and he sat at Govinda Kund and he started his bhajan. His bhajan was only one mantra: Gopal, 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 Gopal. For a few days he just chanted the name of Gopal and he became very thin and emaciated because he had nothing to eat. Some of you are experiencing pangs of separation from Prasadam after only one day. Many days went by. But he was determined, I will not eat anything until Gopal hears my prayer and answers it. So after some days had passed, Gopal, he's also called Naji, you know, this is a beautiful lord who has this one hand like this. Some devotees think this means he's carrying the Govardhan, and yes, he can do this, but mostly he's calling his devotees with this gesture. You know, in the West we go like this, but that is very uncultured. You go like this. So Gopal just could not say anything. So he talked to one of his great devotees. This devotee was a son of Pallabhacharya. This devotee was riding on a big horse always. He lived in Gokul and he took darshan of Gopal, so he needed a fast horse. So to go from Gokul to Jatipur. So Gopal said, "There is my devotee. He comes from a little troublesome background, but he has looked for me all over in Vrindavan, and by looking for me, his heart has become purified. Then I gave him a momentary darshan, and by this momentary darshan, he is totally purified. Now quickly bring him. I want to see him. He is my devotee. He is at Govinda Kund, and you will recognize him by what he says. He only says Gopal. Finished, nothing more." So this devotee came with a horse, saw this very thin person. You know, he could recognize the sin which was all around him. It was from the past sin. You can see a past sinner, certain facial features are there. You need to look at me, then you know a past sinner.
Yes, this from my life before Krishna consciousness, I was not very. I was a wild boy. Let us say this is enough. Mm. But then Prabhupada saved me. Something changed. Anyways, so he could recognize Ras Khan. Ras Khan was very emaciated. He could not really speak anything. Gopal, Gopal. So this devotee said, "Come, Gopal wants to see you." Really? And immediately Ras Khan got all his strength back. Really? Yes, come on my horse. And we galloped to Gopalji. So they went around and Ras Khan was able to take his darshan. Now when he became very old, he wrote a very famous song in Vrindavan. Every Brijvasi will know this song. It's very famous. I think many of you have heard him. His name was Rajo Khan, after this song he was named Rasa Khan. His name before was Rajo Khan. No? So he noticed, I'm old now and I might die soon. And then he sang, if I have to take birth again, if it's a human birth, I wish to be a coward girl who serves a Gopal. If I'm not allowed to take a human birth because of my past, then I want to be a rock at Giriraj. You remember when Krishna threw his thunderbolt, Krishna had lifted the Govardhan hill. So Ras Khan thought, if I have to take birth as a rock, you know, because I'm so, was so sinful, then let me become a Govardhan Shila, a rock at his feet. But if that is too much to ask, and I have to become an animal, then I want to be a calf in the team of Nanda Maharaj's cowherd, which is herded by Krishna. You know everything, yes? But Krishna, if you say no, you cannot become a calf, you cannot become a rock, you cannot become a human. If you say no, then allow me to become a bird. Then I will sit on the branch of the Kadamba tree and I will chant your glory in bird language all day. I would like to become a bird near on a river, no, on a tree that is best location near the Yamuna. So this is the beautiful song of this previous sinner. Previous name was Rajko Khan, Rajko, no? New name was Rasa Khan. He has written many poems, but this is most probably the most famous of his poems. My dear devotees, we have a few more seconds. I will do now an adventure with you. I will guide you into a guided meditation on Krishna. Would you like to do this?
Yes. Yes.
Will you promise me to not fall asleep? As much as possible, please. Nitairam. Meditation, right? Samadhi. Good. My dear devotees, let us sit straight.
You can keep your eyes open at this moment, and I request you to somehow feel the weight of your body. Bring your attention to your legs and just feel their weight. They pull a little bit down to the gravitational center of the earth. And bring your attention to your upper body and just relax by becoming aware of weight, the feeling of weight. Your shoulders have weight. Feel how they are slowly relaxing and gravitate towards the ground.
Some make music using the beam.
Srila Vishwanand Chakravarti Thakur speaks now directly to all of us. He addresses our mind. Oh, my dear mind, now listen to me. First of all, I want you to meditate on Sri Krishna, who has a complexion as lustrous as a fresh rain cloud. Begin right now and just remember, first and foremost and for all eternity, meditate about Krishna's attractively sweet and gentle smile. My dear devotees, meditate on the smile of Krishna. It's a smile which drives away the ocean of tears that is caused by the intense grief of material existence. The Lord has beautiful cheeks, and they are the golden color of the earrings on the cheeks, and now his mouth just opens a little. You see a little bit of his teeth. The mouth opens more and more to a beautiful, mind enchanting, kind smile. Turn to the Lord in prayer. Let the past year be gone. Leave your past year. In a few hours, the new year starts. And pray to the Lord for strength, so that in the new year, you can move a little bit more strong, that you in the new year a little bit more determined, that in the new year it will be easier for you to give up those things that are still harmful in your bhakti. Please do your personal prayer.
Take this type of mindset with you for the 12 o'clock darshan, or a little afterwards also when you have alone time with Krishna. The mind has to become a little bit still or calm in order to bring out the things that are buried by too much busyness. So a calm mind can pray. Also a very troubled mind can pray, by the way. It's paradoxical, these two things, but we don't want an upset mind. We want to chant in a sober mood, or pray to Krishna in a sober mood. I thank you very much. We will now do kirtan up till the midnight aarti. This is 1.5 hours. Yes, it is very good. It will be purifying for you, so that at midnight then you can actually step before Krishna in a good mood of mind. And yes, asked. It will be given whatever you went and please asked for spiritual things, not for things in your devotional growth. Good, we will now continue with this kirtan. Thank you so much, and Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.